This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's a huge day. Huge day for many reasons here at Backspin Golf. Yes, we have Tiger and Peyton and Phil and Tampa Bay Brady. But the main reason that it's a huge day here, as every Sunday morning is because Perry French joins me. We got a lot to talk about. This show is going to be fantastic. John Patrick, in a little while, of the Augusta Golf Show, is going to be out on his golf course playing golf, and we're going to talk to him while he's playing, and that'll be fun. And then Jerry Foltz, who joined us last week, and he was the only guy out on the course with that foursome on last Sunday. We're going to talk to him again, and it's just amazing about the experience of being out there for that event at Seminole. But before we get to all that, once again, social distancing has kept us apart, and I don't like it. Hello, Perry French. Perry French.
Hello, Matthew.
Yeah, I'm sick
golf
of this.
Golf is getting played live on TV, so I'm very encouraged. And golf shops are open around the state.
Yep.
So I sense a sense of normalcy coming. So.
Yeah, well, whatever that is. I mean,
well, the
you
new
know.
Normal, right? The new normal. And,
yeah.
And we will get together to have our, you know, our regular weekly visit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When's our first major?
What are you kidding? The Masters is in November.
Yes, it's just it just takes 3 months of your life.
Yeah.
Crumpled up like a piece of paper, and just,
right.
This is going to go away. So we're going to push the reset button. And today is, it's, you know, May 24th.
Yeah.
It's going to be like maybe February 15th.
We'll go okay. All right. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. So the Masters is a couple months away.
Yeah. Yeah. But we do have other majors before that. But, all right, let's start there before we talk about these match play deals, because this is a good lead-in to it, talking about majors. They have announced that the USGA, that is, that there will be no local or sectional qualifying for the U.S. Open. And for those of you listening that are not hugely into golf, let's Perry explain what that means. It's a big, big deal. Right, Perry?
It is on a couple of fronts, certainly from the history of the U.S. Open, the first and, you know, really our national championship that is conducted with the ability for anybody to attempt to qualify who has a certified at the 2.0 index to put your money in the, or put your entry fee up, go to the local, start there for your local qualifying, go to your sectional qualifying, and then actually get to participate in a U.S. Open.
Right.
That is just kind of the crux of amateur golf, which the USGA embodies, you know, on all fronts. And certainly while they're the governing body of golf along with the RNA, they are primarily an amateur body. The PGA Tour follows their rules recommendation because of the history, and that started long before there was a PGA Tour and Professional Golfers Association. So that being said, it's going to take away from the lore of what has been the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it's going to change the outcome of the U.S. Open, okay?
No, a pro is still going to win the
right.
U.S. Open.
You're not going to have some amateur qualifier who's played great and got through a local and on into it. You know, a lot of collegiate players are in this mix, and there are some great collegiate players that would have qualified to play, certainly at the sectional level, maybe not have made it all the way into to the Open itself and the limited number of spots there. But that being said, it does affect that. On the other side of the coin, mostly, I think, monetarily, the USGA benefits through these sectional, local and sectional entry fees that are paid by all the would-be contestants.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big source of revenue. Not that the USGA is any kind of hurting situation right now. They've got plenty of money in their coffers. In fact, probably too much if you get right down to it. They need to, they're doing things, but boy, I really would like to see them do more, especially as we are now moving into this new normal and how to come out of this, the COVID situation.
Right.
Amateur golf has been totally wiped out. You know, there's no, the junior golf schedules are eliminated to, you know, it's the summer season anyhow. Now
right.
It's going to be, you know, half of that. High school golf will catch a break if they can get playing, you know, by mid-July.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, but from the actual event itself, what we watched the last four rounds being played at Wingfoot this year, not going to affect the play. It's not going to affect the play. Maybe a good storyline or two that would come out from it, and that's always fun. And again, for those really good amateur players, it just kind of stinks.
Yeah, you know, it does. Well, I didn't realize this.
They lost their season too this year. So,
huh?
It's done for all the college players who lost their golf season this past spring. No NCAA championship.
Right.
It's just been an unfortunate
right.
situation.
I didn't realize this, but typically more than half the field plays in the U.S. Open through these sectional qualifiers.
Correct, because when you get to the sectional level, you have the mix of professionals, and quite frankly, the one that's most prominent on the PGA Tours is the Monday after the Memorial Tournament when it takes place. It's up in Columbus. It takes place at the Scarlet Course. They got two courses up there. The Ohio State University courses,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you have all the pros who haven't qualified. They get exempt to that level. So you get the amateurs who come out of the locals,
right?
End up meeting up there, and you have the most of your spots are filled from that. But yes, it's a high percentage, but most of those spots are filled by current PGA Tour players.
And we should say
international players.
There are a lot of these guys, the tour players who haven't qualified.
Right.
It's right. The Memorial, so they'll stick around there, but they also get on a plane. They will look at where the sectional qualifying is around the country and try to determine somehow, wait, it's right. better in if I go to Northern California and try to qualify.
Sure. Well, obviously it depends on their travel schedule. If they're playing in the Memorial, that's part of the deal. It's,
right.
It's an invitational. But then, yeah, there used to be one that right after the Southwind event down in Memphis, that Monday after that was a big back in the schedule until they moved to becoming a major event with the tour schedule change. But, you know, it's what it is. It's everybody has to take a step back. And the field, like I said, will be set. I don't know. Have you heard? I have not read how they're going to fill those spots. Is it just going to be by the tour ranking, I would imagine?
Well, I guess now hold on. By the way, that tournament, the U.S. Open, is September 17th to the 20th at Wingfoot.
And what follows that event?
Thanks, Perry. I don't know.
Later, it's the Ryder Cup. So you have the U.S. Open a week off, and then the Ryder Cup.
Right.
So it's going to be
a
crazy September.
And hopefully football, and probably baseball.
Yeah.
And anyway, this is going to be great. We all better rest up. All of us.
It'll be crazy.
I'm trying to find in this article I have on the golf app. It doesn't actually say how they're going to do it, but they have a certain number of people are already exempt through it, and we'll just have to wait and see. Now that it's September, they'll come out with how they'll determine what the field is, what the full field is. All right. Now, let's talk about this Tiger Phil deal. Last week, we've talked a lot. Of course, we didn't speak with you because we spoke with you last Sunday morning, and it was in the afternoon. And then this week we've talked about it. We loved the whole concept. Guys, the best players in the world in shorts, carrying their own bags, walking up the fairway. By the way, they played very quickly, too, which was great to see. You know how I am on a golf course.
Right.
Yeah.
Get moving. Let's go.
Yeah, that's right.
That was good, and it did bring a little sense of, hey, this is what it looks like on a afternoon, you know, with people carrying their own bag and stuff now.
Yeah.
So it was good that way. Seminole, great track. The golf was, it was exhibition golf. I'm sure they were taking some chances. They were a little rusty in spots.
Yep.
But also, too, the spirit of the game of golf and what they were trying to accomplish was accomplished, right? Giving some people, you know, 4 hours of entertainment, as well as raising some, you know, money. I've seen some
huge money. And
worthwhile funds that will help,
And the Skins game that comes down tied, and they go to the 17th hole and play it from 120 yards, and it's closest to the pin for $600,000+. And Matthew Wolf almost won it. And then, of course, you know, Rory got up there and hit it an inch and a half closer and won the money.
Well,
but
and that's exciting. I mean,
It was great.
Different version of a playoff. It's kind of something you do with your club. You know, okay, we're going to play this last. This is our playoff. We're not, you know,
right.
Post the pin for $1.
Right.
Well, that was it. And it was good. I think they mixed up a little bit of everything that we've all maybe experienced at one time or another playing golf with our friends. And that's,
right.
And that's a good thing.
Now, we got another one coming up today. And this one is going to be, I think, to most people, a lot more fun because we got, obviously, you got Tiger and Phil, and that's a whole thing. And then you got Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, and this is the best thing. They're playing best ball for 9 holes and then alternate shot for 9 holes, and that is going to be fun.
Absolutely. Going to be it should be a stitch. There should be some pretty good jabs, some pretty good banter between the players between shots.
There'll be some trash talking and, this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably some maybe a story or two told, which will keep our interest as they're walking down the fairway.
Mm-hmm.
And then we may see some really great golf from two of the most, you know, predominant players of our my generation, and that's for sure, to watch us play, see Tom Brady and Peyton Manning hit a few shots.
Yeah.
They may pull one out of the bag, so that could be.
Yeah. They may. We'll see. All right. Hopefully, I keep saying it. Let's just have you come in one Sunday morning and sit over there on the other side of the room and we can talk. But till then.
We'll do that.
And you and I have to go. I need new irons. I want to talk about these great Cleveland irons, these launchers. I need some new Srixx on balls. I mean, there's been a lot left on the table since I saw you last time.
I know.
All right.
It's the end of May, so we're only a weekend.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And as we always say, hi, Chris Mascaro, next on the tee.
Hi, Chris Mascaro.
Yeah. Sure. Me and Perry. All right. Take care. Talk to you. Bye.
Good. Talk to you. See ya.
All right. Perry French. French. What? Well, I didn't know what you were doing. I didn't know if you were turning the phone off. Yeah, okay. It's just me and Sean, as it is every day for seemingly hours. All right, when we get back, whoa boy, it'll be Jerry Foltz who is going to tell us all about his experience last Sunday at Seminole as the only guy on the course in the broadcast. And we're also going to talk to Karen Stupples, who happens to be at Jerry's house because they live together. And she was also out there on the course getting all the yardages. Just wait till you hear this conversation. It's amazing. This is ESPN Sports Radio at 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back to ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. Now, this is just an unbelievable opportunity for me. I know all of you listening, it's a great opportunity, but for me, I'm just saying. Last week, right before he went to Seminole for the match of the century until this weekend, we spoke with my buddy Jerry Foltz, who was going to be the only guy out on the course, basically, with the four guys. Well, this is part two. Out of the goodness of his heart, I texted him. I asked if he would come back on and talk a little about what it was like actually out there at Seminole last Sunday. He has agreed, and I am overjoyed. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Matthew. I just It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I just wish we were doing it over a beer at the West Baden Lodge in Prince Lick like when we first met.
Boy. Oh, man. Yeah. Wasn't that great? What was that, about 10 years ago?
I know, right?
That's what it feels like with all this stuff going on. All right, let's start with this. So I think you got there on Saturday. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. We had a little rehearsal on Saturday, and thankfully it was a monsoon. All four players showed up. They all play there quite often, so we didn't need to see the course. But they showed up just for our rehearsal, and they played five holes in a driving rain that nobody wanted to be out there in. But they did it for us, and they did the entire event for charity. Didn't get a dime out of it. Mm-hmm. If anybody ever says a bad word about any of those four players in my presence again, it's going to get violent.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with that. We've talked about it on Backspin and on The Daily Show about how amazing the whole thing was. Now, you told us you had never been there before you went there. So you saw basically five. When you say a rehearsal, it was the six cameramen and the guys and you out on the course. Is that what happened?
That is exactly right. And Karen Stupples, one of our, you know, announced team, the major winner, and my girlfriend doing yardages.
Yes.
Six camera guys, their helpers, and me, Steve Sands, and the four players in their carts. And that was it.
Yeah. In a driving rainstorm, and you saw five holes, which means, Sean, do the math. 18 minus 5, quick. 13. There were 13 holes that you hadn't seen before, right? As we went to air.
Yeah, but I managed to steal about 15 minutes of Bob Ford's time. He is the legendary and revered host pro there for 20 years now. He is to the PGA of America club professional business what Seminole is to golf geeks. He's that guy.
Wow.
He walked me through every single nuance of every single hole, and it is a course that's steeped in nuance because it's not dramatic looking,
right?
Much like any Donald Ross course, it's not dramatic looking. It's the subtlety that is the art of the design. And he walked me through every single thing and every hole location, and I could not have sounded like I knew what the heck I was talking about if I did without his help.
Well, I've said this before about you. You have more humility than almost anybody I know. Now, Karen may disagree with that because I don't know what goes on there. But I said this on Twitter, what you did on Sunday, I thought was quite remarkable. And I'm not just saying this because you're a friend of mine and you're on the air with me. We talked last week. I even said to you, don't be nervous. There's only going to be, you know, millions of people watching its first live event. But you have a way of not only Sunday, but on the regular NBC and Golf Channel telecasts, of telling us exactly what we need to hear without, and I'll just say this, without talking over something else we want to hear, or you always seem to me to say exactly what we all want to hear, and that's it. And then you let the golf speak for itself. And as we see all the time, that is something to be truly admired because it's really hard to do.
That's an enormous compliment, and I appreciate that because that is exactly what anybody who does what I do should strive to do every single day. That's certainly what I do. I strive to do every single day. It was really difficult in this circumstance because, you know, we were using these live view cameras, a technology that PGA Tour Production uses brilliantly quite often, but we'd never done before, myself and Steve Sands and Tommy Roy, our producer.
Now, wait before you go on, explain what was different about these cameras that you don't use all the time.
Technically, normally any live sporting event, you have a big giant satellite truck or two sitting in the parking lot somewhere. And that makes, no matter where the commentators are on the globe, it makes it instantaneous. We were using these live view things, which were much more economical, and it kept our footprint much smaller on site. So we didn't have to test as many people. We didn't have to put as many people up. We only had 2 weeks to put 2.5 weeks to put this together. And they're basically the same TV camera you have, but they're using cell phone technology. They got these big giant packs that are like cell phone receivers and transmitters on steroids. What it means to the viewer is, number one, the pictures are dying. I mean, with a good signal, they are so much better than normal. But It was a 1.4-second delay back to St. Augustine, which was headquarters, mm-hmm. and then about a half-second delay back to me. So I was on a 2-second delay from those guys talking. So for us not to talk over each other very much was remarkable.
Yeah.
The hard part was for me is I couldn't hear the players' mics in my ear because they were also bouncing off St. Augustine back to me. So I had to be close enough to them, and they were all cool about it. They said, you could stand right next to me and call my shot.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be close enough to them to be able to hear them talking to keep me from talking over them, because I don't care who you are, what sport you're covering, how famous of a sports announcer you are, there is absolutely nothing you have to say that I want to hear more than what that player might say. And I talked over them a few times because I couldn't hear them and they were on the other side of the fairway. But fortunately, I've learned that I didn't talk over them very much. And I knew I did when our friend Keith Hirschlin had sent me a text and simply,
oh boy, he just never stops, right? Our buddy Keith.
He's the reason so many people are good at what they do in the industry.
But I will say this, you did it. It was non-existent to me, the number of times that you did it. One of the things I will say this, and I put on Twitter after one hole, anybody that complains about anything is blocked by me, because it was so fantastic and so appreciated that you were all doing this. But the one thing that a lot of people had trouble with was we wanted to hear, and we knew this was going to happen, we wanted to hear more of the players. What you just explained about the signal going back to St. Augustine and you had kind of a 2-second delay explains part of that. But all in all, those guys, all four of them, were so terrific, and their personalities, even though we didn't get as much as we wanted of the back and forth, you could just tell their personalities were amazing.
Yes. Early, there was a lot of back and forth. There were some barbs thrown, and there was McIlroy yelling at Matthew Wolff, who hit it miles up into the sand dunes, saying, hey, is this what you call social distancing?
Yeah.
And then Wolf on that same hole yelling down to Dustin Johnson, hey, is this a waste area?
Hello.
I don't think Dustin appreciated that.
No, I don't think he did either.
No. I think there was had the mic been able to read his mind, we would have had to bleep it.
Yeah.
But then, it started getting serious. Now, and keep in mind, too, they're carrying their own clubs. Not that they're heavy. They all had these little light walking bags. But,
right.
And they hadn't played golf carrying their own clubs in ages, except for Matt Wolff, and they hadn't played around a golf walking in ages right now. So, they probably started to feel the effects of fatigue, just a hair, and the pressure. Even though they weren't playing for a dime for their own money, they're playing for, bragging rights and pride and respect amongst themselves. And they started getting much more quiet toward the end, absolutely.
Yeah, they did. And, on the first hole, Jerry, it started, we had four missed putts on the first hole, and between them carrying their bags, being in shorts, and missing a couple of the missed 5 or 6 footers, it felt like, basically me and three friends of mine being out there, and it gave just such a terrific feel right from the beginning of really what we wanted to see.
I totally agree. I think it was the most intimate broadcast in terms of what the viewer experience was of anything I've ever been a part of. It is exactly what I think. There's going to be a lot of things that happened this past Sunday that will make their way into permanent broadcast in time, be it from a budget standpoint, from a feasibility and logistics standpoint, and also from maybe Mike and the players, maybe more of that camera at ground level instead of up on a tall scaffolding to make you feel like you're inside the ropes. I was talking with Commissioner Jay Monahan, who was there. Obviously, I don't usually get an audience with him that's more than a cordial hello, how's things going, what are you doing, how's this, whatever. But there weren't many people around, nobody around, actually. So I talked to him at great length, and I said, based on the amount of anticipation, and I'm solely doing it from my own standpoint, the text messages I was getting from people who haven't lost my number in 15 years, unfortunately, I said it almost feels like we're inventing TV.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, that's a great point. It's a really great point. And the PGA Tour Productions people, to pull it off the way they did. And we were just visitors in their environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really big thing for them. They had never done anything on a network broadcast before. And they all rallied together, and they were total stars in the whole process. But it was the most intimate, I think it's what I want golf to be when I watch TV. I want to feel like I'm playing along with those four guys, and that's what it felt like to me, the broadcast.
That's so perfectly put. And I know that when we have a regular PGA event with fans and all the guys in the towers and doing all the stuff, but I think those of us that love golf, it's what we all want, and we got a chance to experience it on Sunday, to the point where I got to be honest, it's going to be, I know you have a job, but it's going to be hard to watch, like, once we get back to regular tournament golf, I think, because this was so great.
Well, yeah, and in regular tournament golf, you know, you have the blueprint, which kind of held true and been, you know, modified and adapted and maybe improved upon in some respects since Frank Trakanian essentially invented golf on TV, but it's the same blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
And this was different, and I think this is the wave of the future. I don't know if it's going to be hard to watch. I think people are waiting to get back to that.
Oh yeah,
this yeah. So different to them, but the hard part for me is we had access to every word those guys said for four and a half hours. When we do a normal broadcast, we only have access to what the player hitting the ball has to say to her caddy or his caddy. You know, in the 10 seconds before or after the shot,
mm-hmm.
that's when our mic's on them. It was really neat to have access to everything they were saying live the entire time and literally make you feel like you're on the field of play with them, which you can't put a price on how cool that is from a viewing experience.
Absolutely. I just thought of something else when you said that though. They didn't have caddies. And so, some pros, as we know, rely on their caddies to help them read putts, for example. Some don't, some do. Did you feel like at any point any of these four guys, I mean, they play, they're the best in the world, but did you feel like there was a point where somebody would have benefited from having their caddies with them?
My friends who are caddies and who are my heroes for my daily job don't get offended by this, but not at one point did I feel like they needed someone to coach them.
Yeah.
You know, they use caddies as a sounding board,
right.
as a friend, as a psychiatrist, and as a teammate. They're the only teammate on the course. And sometimes a caddy will pull a player off a shot when the wind blows the wrong direction or tell him he's got the wrong club.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, that's their decision. Every player got to the PGA Tour succeeding and excelling at the game of golf without a caddy.
Right.
Period.
Right.
They're that, yeah. So the caddies are hugely important to the process. But I maybe there were two bad clubs all day long, and maybe Joe Skovran would have had Ricky pinch a shut face wedge on that playoff hole, which was closest to the pin, as opposed to fanning the 9-iron.
Right.
Know.
Yeah.
But not many, there were very few instances out there where I could see them missing the caddy, except perhaps on the greens. There were a lot of misread putts out there. But the caddy, there's not a caddy on the PGA Tour who's a better player than the worst player on the PGA Tour.
Right, right.
So, it's all about that relationship and how much they trust each other. But
right.
No, seeing them in shorts, walking, carrying their Sunday bags was,
it was
so
great.
Cool.
All right. We have about 3 minutes left. Is Karen still there? Is she negative?
She is. I'm putting Karen's double.
Okay, now hold on.
Women's British.
Hold on, because I'm going to say goodbye to you first, and then I'd like.
Oh, you don't save the soppiness for her. She's the real star.
Oh, I will. There'll be sappiness with her, but I can't. I really can't thank you enough from the bottom of my heart. You're the greatest.
You're a friend, you're a treasure, and you are a true talent, and I appreciate your time. Thanks, Matthew.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Hello, he's a tough act to follow, that Jerry Faltz.
Oh, no, he's not. And let me just say to you, Karen Stupples, you're really the one. I talk to him because I feel like he needs it, kind of. You're really the one I want to talk to all the time. Not him. I mean.
Well, that's good. Thank you so much for that.
We only have a couple of minutes, but I'm so glad I got a chance to say hello to you and to tell you what so many of us feel is how fantastic. You were obviously a great player. You played on the LPGA Tour and the Ladies European Tour. You had wins on those tours. But you do such a great job, as Jerry does, out on the course. And people that know me and know my show, I have very little patience with most golf commentary. That's how I'll put it. And both of you are just so great at what you do. And I'll also say, I don't think they talked about you enough on Sunday. I'm angry.
Well, I wouldn't be too angry. I had a blast going out there. just being close and part of that whole thing was pretty fantastic to see. You know, Jerry's already spoken about how fantastic that the players were throughout the whole process and during the practice rounds and everything else. And even, you know, to me, you know, I'm collecting all the yardages, and to be honest with you, it's probably the most nervous I've ever been about getting a yardage in my entire life.
It was
the one that I had to collect on number 2 and number 14. Which was the long driving holes.
Yeah.
And as I'm getting the yardage, and Rory McIlroy is creeping up on me, he's like, where did that pitch? Where did Wolf's pitch? Did it pitch on a downslope? Did it pitch on a sprinkler head? How did it get out there that far? I mean, they couldn't believe that he just dusted him on the first hole. And then on the 14th, and Dustin's like, oh, this isn't a fair fight.
that whole thing was so fantastic also for those of us watching. But you now there one thing that I didn't talk with Jerry about, these guys played quickly. I mean it was great. Like DJ would get there, they'd get over the ball, and all of a sudden, so you must have been running around all day.
It was intense. I had a golf cart, so I was ahead of the plane most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally rode around that golf course 3 times that morning, trying to set my route up so I wouldn't be in the way of the TV cameras, so I wouldn't interfere with them playing the hole, so I could get ahead, so I could wait for their shots to come down onto the fairway. And it was awkward because you're standing sort of 330 yards down the fairway, looking back up at the tee, trying to pick up their balls in the air just to try and see where they're landing. And it was really interesting for me because I was hanging out with the camera people that were catching those, you know, the follows from down the fairway. And I was watching their camera move just to see a lot of the time where the ball was going. And they did a really fantastic job of positioning themselves, catching where the balls were going.
Yeah.
Doing all that stuff, and it was fun to see them work. And then of course the pressure began, and I had to get out there to get my yardages.
Well, I can't tell you, seriously, sometime soon I hope you'll join me where I can just talk to you, because don't tell Jerry, but you know, I mean, come on.
it'll be our secret.
Okay, it will. And thank you so much for the couple minutes, and it's my favorite couple. I mean, you two are just the best, and thank you so much.
Well, we have a great time together, so I'm pleased that comes across.
Yes, it does. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Karen.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye. Holy cow. All right. Well, I know. But holy cow. That was amazing. All right. We'll take a break. It's ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. So, here at Backspin Golf, my buddy John Patrick of the Augusta Golf Show, iconic, legendary host of the Augusta Golf Show, I wanted to talk to him. It's been a while, and I just wanted to get his feeling on, you know, the match play things and just general golf stuff. Turns out he was actually playing golf when I spoke to him. Walking 9 holes at his club right on the outskirts of Augusta, as he does often with 3 friends of his. And this was this was pretty fun. Here's John Patrick. You I text you. I say I would love you to join us. We have some stuff to talk about. We had live golf last weekend. We have live golf coming up this weekend. A couple other things. And you say sure, as you always do, and I'm eternally grateful. And then I find out you're actually at the club walking nine holes as we speak right now.
We have live golf going on right now.
Oh, this is good. Can you, because some of my comments will have to do with the commentary that was done last weekend. Why don't you, can you tell us what's going on now with your group?
Really, that's what you want? there's four of us.
Yeah.
Rob, Michael, and Haskell.
Yeah.
It's a usual group that gets together. We throw the bags over our shoulders. Walk nine, we've got Rob in his mid-60s, we've got Michael in his early 70s, Haskell in his early 80s.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
He actually has the pull card. He is not carrying his...
Oh, well, okay. We'll give him that. This is so great, though. And this kind of leads me into what happened on Sunday. The best shot of the entire 4 hours, whatever it was, and people have been putting it on Twitter, was Rory and DJ and Matthew Wolf and Ricky walking up the fairway carrying their own bags, wearing shorts.
Yes. Yes. And that's what we're all doing. My favorite part was DJ on 17 hitting his shot and then walking off like he had a caddy.
Yep. Yeah. He forgot.
Forgetting he had to get his bag.
Yeah. It was great. The whole thing, I think that was the takeaway for most of us. And part of, and I said, I think you saw on Twitter, I said, if anybody complains, they're blocked. Because we were so grateful for what having it on. And it was just great to watch. But they talked too much. All the people that were working it, we wanted to hear the four of them converse, as I'm sure you and your guys are doing today. Did you feel that way?
I did, and I knew that you would feel that way because you always feel that way.
Well, I hate commentary. Unless it's European tour, I hate it.
But there is something out there. Have you seen, I guess it's a 4-minute compilation of kind of everything they said.
Oh, I haven't seen that. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think it's like four and a half minutes of, you know, Rory's claim about being, you know, 2-time FedEx
player. Right.
And, yeah. And things like that. But I agree. I thought we'd get more chatter from them. I wished we'd gotten more chatter from them. It was a unique situation. They were all mic'd up. If they're all mic'd up, why not use that?
Right, right. And not, I didn't even care if it was trash talk or what. Just talking the way we do. Because they,
yeah.
I mean, they look a little bit like us maybe 35 years ago, but, you know, carrying their bags, walking in shorts. And the other thing is, I thought it was great that Seminole did this, and you just had, what's his name, the head of Seminole?
Yeah, the president of the club, Jimmy Dunn, yes.
Jimmy Dunn, you just had him on your show, I saw.
I did.
I thought it was fantastic that they all came together and they did this, but at a certain point, I felt like all they did was talk about the golf course and every hole and different things, and that's fine, but I don't think that's why we were there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're right, but I think there was a percentage of people that were there for that. I was there for that.
Ah.
I'd heard so much about it, and never could really get from anybody what makes it so special.
Right.
Because you never see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those rare golf courses, you know, in the top 20 that we've never, ever seen. So, I was curious about that. I was told it is like Augusta National in this way. It is a Florida course, most of them pretty level. This has some elevation, and I was told television does not do the elevation justice.
It's just like Augusta, though.
That's what they said, comparing
right.
it to the National. Yeah.
Because a couple of years ago, when a friend of ours named John Patrick helped me go to Augusta for the first time in my life, that was the thing you had always heard. Wait till you get there. It doesn't do it justice how uphill and downhill everything is. And boy, was that the truth.
Well, at your young age, it takes a bit more of a toll. But I enjoyed the golf course.
What are you, 20?
I enjoyed seeing the golf course. I had a good time with that.
Okay.
And it was one of those places where, okay, now I want to go play it.
Yeah, well, and you probably could with the people you know. Holy cow, I'm sure you could.
I'm glad you're sure.
And that leads us into what's coming up this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, as we all know, Tiger and Phil and Peyton and Tampa Bay Brady. And I think this weekend is going to be really interesting. I love this format. 9 holes of best ball, 9 holes of alternate shot. I think that's going to be fantastic. And I think they may let these four speak a little bit more. We might hear a little bit more from these four than last weekend, I think.
I think you're right for a couple of reasons. I think they're chattier.
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, you know, these people have had a week of hearing what was right and what wasn't right about that telecast. So if they've been listening, yeah, they'll keep it quiet for a while, especially with Phil. Especially with Phil.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got that this weekend. Now, since you are the mayor of Augusta, basically, and everybody wants to speak to you because you're the Masters guy, and that's not the only reason. But so we are going to have a Masters, right, in November.
Anybody else on this show talk?
No.
Does anybody
not
else
usually
on this show talk? Okay.
No.
We have little quips that we'll come in with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have to be pointed to by.
Especially in the golf powerful segment, John. If you want me to shut up, I'll shut up.
No. Really?
Another one.
Really? No.
So what was the question?
Yeah, see? We are going to have a Masters in November, correct?
Yeah, it seems like we're moving in that direction. I'm curious about whether or not there will be spectators. Because as we keep getting deeper into these schedules, you know, the U.S. Open, no spectators.
Mm-hmm.
I have to believe there will be spectators, although I don't think that they want to be the only one or the first one that has them.
Right, that's a good point. And it's in November. We're still quite a ways away from there.
Absolutely.
So, but just
and it's Georgia. And it's Georgia. I mean, we open up for, you know, for whatever reason. We're open.
That's a good
Georgia ever closed.
They'll probably have twice as many people as I've ever been there before.
Probably.
That's a scary thought. Something else I wanted to touch on with you real quickly. The USGA came out and said there will be no qualifying for this year's U.S. Open. And this is really, I thought about this a lot last night. Not only will it change, obviously, the field for the U.S. Open, but local qualifying for the U.S. Open is one of the main things about it that makes it the great tournament that it is, and we don't have that this year, right?
I agree. It is one of the unique aspects of that thing, and I understand why they're not doing it.
Yeah,
I haven't quite read enough to see. Are they going to fill the field in some shape, form, or fashion?
Right.
Or are we just going to have the folks who are exempt now? Is it a small field? Which I think would be worse.
Yeah. Yes.
You win the U.S. Open with, you know, 78 players.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be. So, I understand why they're doing this. It didn't come as a big surprise. You know, it's just not enough areas of the country yet are open and ready to do this sort of thing, and they got to get it going.
Right, right. They do. The great thing about the U.S. Open is that field. Now, you have to have a certain handicap, but
yes,
anybody in the country, it's our national open, so theoretically, you know, if I were a 1.8 handicap, I could qualify and win the U.S. Open.
Right? Is Tony Romo going to play?
Absolutely.
Tony Romo
would try to qualify.
He's been talking about it.
Yeah, but he can't now.
He can't.
That's the point.
Even, well, I was thinking if the NFL.
There's no qualifying, Jimmy. That's right. Just said it.
Well, I know, but.
You see, John, this is why they
don't
talk.
That's why we don't say anything, yeah.
Because even when we have thoughts that are like, maybe.
Golf is confusing.
Yeah. All right, John, please get back to your game.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. No, I mean, unless there's something else you'd like to talk about, I feel guilty that you've had to spend time with us.
You could hold the phone by, you know, if you're on the next tee box, you could drive so that we can hear.
Yeah, why don't you go hit a shot and have Haskell hold your phone, and then you could tell us what happened.
Actually, I'll tell you what. You can hear Haskell's shot.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is cool.
Him now. Haskell's a stockbroker here in Augusta.
Yeah.
He's 82 years old.
Oh.
He's been playing for quite a long time.
Bless him.
He is our friend that, as the ball is in the air, he will say 166, 167, 168, and that's his drive.
Yeah. I'm not laughing at that.
Let's see if we can hear Haskell's contact here.
Okay.
Stand by.
This is great. Perfect.
Mm. Sounded a little heavy.
Could you hear it?
Yeah.
No,
he actually hit it pretty good.
Oh.
This is great. Yeah, this is live golf radio going on. Yeah. It's like everybody. Like PGAtour.com here. This is perfect. In the hole! Some jamoke just yelled, get in the hole over here. All right, you're the greatest. I will talk to you soon. Give my love to Lisa, and... thanks for taking some time on your daily walk and spending it with us.
See you, Matthew.
See you, John.
Bye. Must be nice to just be able to, like, I don't know, do you want to go play nine on
Augusta?
It's
what they do. They belong to this beautiful little club down there, not Augusta National. Wow, what a cool show. Perry French, of course. And that Jerry Foltz stuff was just... amazing. Right, Sean?
Yes.
Sean said yes. Sometimes when I ask you a question, people can hear you sometimes. Well, sometimes you just shake your head. And they can hear that too, because stuff rattles around.
Yes.
There you go. Thanks to my buddy Jerry Foltz for that inside look at what went on at Seminole. And to my buddy John Patrick out there on the golf course. We have never in 6 years, Sean, had anybody on the golf course actually, we haven't heard a golf shot hit in 6 years, especially by somebody who's 82 years old, as his friend Haskell was. That was cool. And as I said, Perry French every week. Thanks to my incredible partners, Man of War Golf, peeps, I've said it before, the pro shop at Man of War, you can go in, get the balls in the back, go to the range, work on your game, short game area, putting green, lessons, club fitting. Top 100 club fitters in America, Man of War Golf. Lexington Parks and Rec, people, the golf courses are open. You know this. They're still sticking to the rules, except now you don't have to pay online. You can pay for merchandise and food, but it's got to be outside of the pro shops, but everything else good to go. I am so blessed to be able to go play at Kearney and Picadome and Tate's Creek and Lakeside and Meadowbrook, our great courses. Edwin Watts Golf, I was there a couple days ago. They are open. You can go inside. Everybody's wearing masks, social distancing, but they have incredible deals going on. And for the rest of today, as with Man of War, they have a Memorial Day sale going on through tomorrow. So check them out, Edwin Watts. French Lick Resort. The golf courses are open, and the hotels and the casino will be opening fairly soon. Our buddies at French Lick, I am going back there. As soon as the hotel opens, see you, Sean. Nice. So, well, maybe you can go with me, and we'll do the show from up there.
Okay.
Way to go. Dan Cummins, of course, in Paris and Georgetown. NFP, formerly known as Carolyn Stone, but our buddy's best insurance agency. I have my insurance with them. They could not be better. They're just great. Commonwealth Credit Union, peeps. Commonwealth Credit Union, they're wonderful people. The services and the way they do their business is incredible. I'm so happy with them. And Clark's Pump and Shop. All over the place. They have drive-through windows at a lot of them. Well, you don't drive through the window. You pull up. You know what I mean. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Don't forget, watch the match this afternoon. We'll talk about it next week on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.